Okay, let's begin. We're on Sechtes Brochos. We're on Lamed Beis Mid Beis by the bottom, by the two dots. It tells us that Afil Hamelach Shoyel B'Shlomo Lo Yashiven.
Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis? Lamed Beis.
Yes.
Yes,
very toward the bottom. So, this Mishnah told us the importance of Tefillah, to the point that even if a person is in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei and a melech, a king comes up to you and greets you, you should not respond. And we're going to see shortly in Halacha exactly what all this means. So we're going to get into
that. The same thing with the snake?
That's what the Gemara is going to talk about right now. The Gemara is going to get into the snake shortly. Okay, so Om Rav Yosef. It's about seven lines from the bottom. Lo Shanu El Malchi Yisrael. The only time that we say that you should just continue davening is you have a Jewish king, and hopefully he knows halacha, you're not supposed to interrupt. Hopefully he knows what you're doing. And therefore, you can just continue davening.
Yeah, we have a lot of halacha at the end, though. We're not such great guys.
That's a good point. So, let's loosely translate the next three words. Abu Malchi Akum Poisek. But if you're dealing with a king, Akum, you can translate as, you can contrast it to a Malchi Yisrael, or you can say it's referring to someone who's avoidas koichavim, someone who's not adhered to our halachos. Then Poisek, then you have to say, you better stop, because as you said, you're putting yourself into sakana, and that's not something which we're ever going to compromise. Just so that a person could continue davening and end up risking their lives, that makes no sense. Okay, Mason, I'll ask you a question. Imagine, and this is of course in Taz Nigmar, you can instead use more common examples to this case. So the spalel, person is davening, almost, and you see that there's a bandit, he's coming in your direction. Bokenegdoi. You see a wagon, a wild wagon, or let's say a car coming from a few blocks. Luyimasik el makatzer ve'oyla. Don't stop the davening, just continue to daven, but be makatzer ve'oyla. You should just say it a little bit quicker, speed it up. So this way you'll be able to finish before the runaway wagon or the car comes. Right, you'll be able to just move right before.
Question is, why are you
davening
on the Bell Parkway?
So, the car is not on the Bell Parkway.
Exactly.
It went off the road.
Shkia. You pulled off. Anyway. I see them walking with their wives. No minion.
Well, you went up to the mountains and you're for the rest of the
day. Right.
Well, we'll have to see exactly what that means. But first, let's just see what the Gemara answers. So, it's apparently, you're not allowed to stop, even apparently if there's some type of sakana involved. Lokasha, this is not a question. We'll have to use the side over here to understand this better. Had eshel katzer, and behad lo eshel katzer. One is in a situation where you could go quick and finish up. One is where you don't have time. So if you don't have time, for example, you have a malchi akum that greets you, so you have to immediately respond. So therefore, you have to interrupt your davening. However, in the situation where you see that you have some time, so then you should not just interrupt your davening, you should just continue with just be makatzer. Now, what exactly does that mean, makatzer? So, we look in Rashi. Rashi says like this, the last line. Had esher. So, actually, you'll see the Rashi before that, about three lines on the bottom. Avol malchi akum poisek shil yargenu. So, the issue is that he's going to kill you. Okay. Apparently, whereas we're going to see in halacha, for monetary loss, we don't make such an exception. It's only when an event that a person's life can be on the line. Had esher litzor, abiktzor, if you're going to samach ligmar tfilaso. That doesn't mean necessarily, it sounds like you should just like say every other word. It means if you're like three words before the end of the Shemoneh Esrei, you say the last three words in the move. That's what it sounds like. Okay. We're going to see in halacha exactly what that really means practically. Okay, let's continue. Tanurabam. So apparently, a person in time of danger, if you see that there is a powerful akum that is in front of you that greets you, it's clear that you're supposed to stop your davening. Tanurabam. Now we have the following story.
Is it powerful akum? Is it any akum or just an akum melech?
Well, that's a good question. Apparently, based on Rashi, it's the issue of shul yargenu. Anyone who has the ability to
kill you. I mean, look, we for verse, Hakanas Tefashas, we can trade, we can do anything. So
right.
Would we have even a half a minute that you couldn't stop?
Right, you're right. That's a good question. We'll have to, in Halacha, we're going to have to address that point. We'll hold off on that thought. That's a very good question. Tanu Rabban, Masa b'chassadecha. So there's this following story. It was with a chassid, someone who went lifnim mishur sadin, someone who was a very, very pious person. Shemispalo b'derech, and for whatever reason he had to daven, and he davened on the road, on the side of the road, let's say. So basar echot. So this very powerful noble, this officer came, but nasim lo shalom greeted him, and obviously, or not obviously. He didn't greet him. He didn't respond. He just continued davening. So Himtinlo, so this Tsar waited until this chassid finished his davening. After he finished his davening, Armalei, he said, Reka, you empty person. How could you have just continued engaging in your prayer and ignored me as though I didn't exist? But a little chassid of Saraskim, does it not say in your Torah? And not necessarily does he know these psukim, which would be a really knowledgeable tsar, but he knows the concepts of what's found in the Torah. And the Torah does say, Rak yisham locha yishmor nafshecha. You have to guard yourself, protect your life. Uksiv nishmartem o'id l'nafsho seichem. Right? You have to make sure to very much protect your life. So he's saying that, you know, when it comes to Torah, You're davening and all this stuff, but your life is the most important thing. You have to do whatever it takes to preserve life as much as possible. It's how precious and life is. So how could you do what you did? So he continues and said, when I said hello to you, when I greeted you, what audacity that you didn't respond. Cut off your head with a sword. With a knife. Do you think anyone's going to care? No one's going to come. No one's going to say, hey, what did you do? People would probably be thrilled that I killed a Jew. So why would you have potentially put your life on the line? Just answer me. What's your problem? So Omerlay, so the chassid said, hintingly, if you can just wait for 1 second, calm down, relax. Ad shifai sechav devarim, until I'm able to mafias you, I can console you with, appease you with words. Armelani said like this, I want you to understand what I was doing over here. I wasn't just ignoring you. You have to understand, I was talking to God. If you had been standing in front of a king, of flesh and blood, and some regular guy in the street, your friend came up to you and said hello to you, what would you do? Would you have greeted him back? Would you have interrupted a conversation with a king in order to say hello to your friend? Or Moy said, Lav, no. I wouldn't have done that. Okay, theoretically. If in fact you did greet him and respond and ignored this king, what would the king have done to you? So Moy, I'll tell you. You would have killed me, you know, for being so disrespectful. So Amalei, so the chassid said, "Valo devarim kavachomer." You think about it; it makes sense. A kavachomer. Ma'ata, when it comes to you, shayisa oimin lifnei melech boss of adam, that you were standing, you'd be standing in front of a regular king. Shayoyim kanu machar bekever. He's only here for a short amount of time. Kach, this is the way that you behave. So anisha shayisa oimin lifnei melech malchay emlochim mekodesh baruch hu. I was standing in front of Hashem. He exists forever, is ever powerful. Allah is kama kama, all the more so. For me to interrupt my tefillah would be absolutely inappropriate to greet you. Immediately this tsar became appeased. And he ended up going back to his house in peace. The wonderful, cute story. The question that everyone asks is Masa Listar. Sounds like a complete contradiction. We just learned the Gemara that said that if you see that your life is potentially in danger, you stop. And all of a sudden we have this whole Kavachomer that says you shouldn't stop. So there's a couple of ways that this is interpreted. According to the Slach and the Taz, they explain that perhaps this Chassid either knew this Tsar on some level, or he knew about him, or he knew that he was able to console him. He knew that his life really was not on the line. And perhaps by looking at the language, you see that it says that the tsar waited until he finished his tefillah. So why would he have waited? So if he was angry, he would have gotten angry, then he probably would have stopped his davening. So the fact that he was able to continue his davening and the tsar waited for him, that in itself was a little bit of proof that his life was not in danger. This was more of an intellectual exercise.
What about the Jewish system, giving yourself up for a living? When does that apply?
In this particular, we don't want to give up our lives unless we have no choice, unless there's, Gilly Rice, the Buddha's own Shvichas Dama, right? So in this particular situation, again, the only way that this is approached is that he knew that his life was really not on the line. This was just an intellectual exercise. This was not really someone that, even though he probably could have killed him, but he knew that he wasn't going to. He knew him somehow, or he knew about this guy, that he was respectful, and he just wanted to understand, like, why wouldn't you interrupt me? Well, you should have interrupted your davening. According to the Ben Yoyada says another interesting explanation. He said that perhaps the chassid didn't even realize that the guy was there. A person who is really oisik, involved in tefillah properly, you may not even realize that someone said hello to you. You're so involved in his davening. For him to, after the end of the davening, explains to Ben Yoyada, to say, oh, by the way, I was so engrossed in prayer that I didn't hear you, he would have said, you're a liar. And therefore, he may have to come up with this different explanation so that he would be able to understand it on his own terms. So that's one way that this is understood. Okay. Fine. Let's look in the left. We may not be able to see. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves here, but we're looking now in Simon Kuf Dalid over here, which is entitled Shlul Hasif Tefillah. Sorry, that person should not interrupt when it comes to the Shmon Esrei. So the Mechaber tells us as follows. We'll see at least the first two Sifim, and then we'll maybe time for me to see the next piece of Gemara for a couple of minutes. Lo yasik b'tfilaso, a person should not interrupt their davening. Yafil melech Yisrael shoyel b'shlomo lo yashkenu. This is what we just saw in the Mishnah and the Gemara, that even if a Jewish king approaches you, however, continues to the next page, Abul melech oivet gilulim, or b'skachavim, whatever, when it comes to them, im efshol l'katzer, if it's possible to abbreviate, which, again, the way the Rashi said, it means that you're next to the end of the tefillah, so you can just finish it up. That's not how the Mechaber reads it. This is the Hainu Shi'omer Techilas Habrach V'Seifa. This may be a whole cheshbon in itself, how to do this. To say the beginning of and the end of each bracha, Kodim Shi'agiyalav Yikatzer. Then you could abbreviate that way, by like abbreviating each paragraph. Exactly how that's accomplished, he doesn't get into. O'im Eshelo Shi'yatim in Haderech. Or if you could turn from the road, yata, then you should do so. Lo yasik b'dibur, and not to interrupt with words. So you now see what the Mechaber being a little more sensitive to. There's a difference between being masik in even moving. Yata doesn't necessarily mean you move your body like this. Apparently, it means you physically leap, move your space. That's what it sounds like. That's better than actually speaking. So, in the event that you have a king that is about to greet you, let's say, so by moving, it's better than being masik b'dibur, by interrupting with speech. And if it's impossible, then yasik. So yasik, all these languages of our Gemara, is talking about with words. Let's see Sif Beis as well, then we'll see the Mishnah Berurah. Hayim ispalo b'derech, a person's davening on the road, uva behema. Okaron kenegda, you see this wild animal, you see an animal, or you see, in this case, the wagon, or a car. Yata min haderech v'lo yafsik. It says, better, don't interrupt. Instead, go away from the road, so that you're not going to be in the line of fire, if you will. B'inyan acher, when it comes to any other way, any other issue, ein lotes mimkomo, you should never move your feet. Until you finish the davening. Unless you're at the end of the davening. Okay, unless you're at at the El Kain Tzor, which is the supplications. So if we go back just for a moment to page 1, the very bottom of the Mishnah Berurah, and we're going to discuss some practical halachas that are brought down over here as well. The Mishnah Berurah tells us in the very bottom, Uyasek miyafilu remiza ba'alma asr. When it comes to interrupting the davening, you're not allowed to even make a remez. You can't point, you can't make any motions. That's also considered to be a form of a hefsek. That's a form of communication, like American Sign Language, right? So you can't do that. Im lo latina kaboichem mutil ramiz lo biyadav kadeshi ishtag lo yatridu mitfilasu. So if you have like a little child, that a 2-year-old that's crying next to you and it's interrupting the davening, so you can kind of like go like this to make the child appeased by like moving your hand, or that would not be considered a hefsek. But if you're doing that, it's not going to help. Yarchi kasatz memenu v'lo yadav rimo. Then you can move yourself and not to speak. Better not to speak and interrupt your Shemoneh Esrei than to, and instead it's better to move. Then we skip to the next part, which is underlined, which says, b'tfil also, that you should not, again, interrupt your davening. V'yafil b'makam hesed mamoin ein l'hafsik. The only time we said there was an issue is if it's life-threatening situations. However, in case of financial monetary loss, one is not allowed to interrupt the davening. Continues the Mishnah Berurah on the second page. Kasav Chayodom. So the Chayodom says like this. Ha'emid b'tfila, you're davening, v'nestami b'ezed din eich yisfalel, and you don't know how to daven. Do I say mashavurah? Do I say aviyavo? Right. Kegun sheshachach ezed davar b'tfila, or you may have forgotten something. Do I go back? Well, what do I do? And you don't have an art scroll in your hands. Mutil lelech mimkomo l'makom yuchad l'ayin sham b'sefer. You can actually go into a sefer or grab an art scroll sitter or something in the back, even though you're moving, to be able to find out what the halacha is. So that's actually permitted, even though, of course, that's not the best situation. Oyvi gilulim, when it comes to oyvi gilulim that greets you, you have to interrupt. V'hu hadin anus da alma, any other time in which you can be in danger. Misyari shem yihargenu, in a time that your life is in danger. Again, skipping a line, the Prima Gadim writes, Yesh l'siyashi b'zeh d'mashma d'halicha l'tzarech ha'tfila lo havi hefsek. Again, that if, even though you're not supposed to move, but if there's a halicha l'tzarech tfila, if the reason why you're moving is in the process of davening, that's not considered to be a hefsek. Even though you have to move because there's some wagon or car, so it's not a problem, you're allowed to move. But if it's impossible, then you should interrupt. What does it mean to interrupt? To greet the king, because a person otherwise could potentially be in danger. Certainly if he speaks to you, you can respond. You can even greet him initially. Okay. So therefore, the first thing that I think what is important to point out, what the Mishnah Berurah is teaching us in the Shulchan Aruch, is that the whole Indian of Hefsek is talking about words. But to be able to move, that is not considered to be a Hefsek, especially as we saw in the words of the Prima Gadim, that Halicha L'Tzarech Tefillah is not an interruption. So a person doesn't mean that you should, when you see a car coming, that you should just continue davening, that you should move, right? As opposed to screaming, hey, watch out! Instead of screaming, hey, watch out, that's a hefsek. Better that you should move than to speak. And then something else emerges from this, we're going to see in the Mishnah Berurah in a second. So we look at Sif Beis in the Mishnah Berurah, Min HaDerech. So Ratzel Loimer, after hu sakanta, even though you're in danger, shul yavo ha-behem of a karna love, you see that these things are coming, mekol makom, nonetheless, kivan de eshulo, lehi natzel mizeh alidei shiyata min HaDerech, you can move off the road, also hasik b'dibur, which is what I just said. You're now to interrupt with speech. Loimar l'ish acher shiyake b'makel. Let's say you have an animal that's going wild, he's riding the animal, or there's someone nearby with a stick. You say, hey, hit the animal! So it like veers off to the other side. Of ligar b'bal ha'karon shul yavu kenegdor, to scream at the wagon driver, you know, watch out, watch out! Instead of screaming, watch out, it's better just to move out of your way. That's what it means. But I'm saying, but it's better to walk out, move out of the way,
I'm saying,
than to speak.
There, you wouldn't know if the guy would go anyhow. The idea is that you're doing your hefsek.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Now, even though one may learn this halachos,
broken because you know that there's something. Obviously, there's something that takes you out of your chain of thought.
Right.
So your kabbalas are even broken anyhow. I mean, you hear this screeching brakes coming at you, or an animal, right. Or a lion making all kinds of noises, charging at you, the thundering of hooves, so to speak.
Yeah.
You're not concentrating. So what's the big deal if you know?
If
you see somebody else is with you and say, watch out, there's an animal, there's a car, somebody behind you, see somebody else is dabbling near you. You know, you're saving somebody's life by alerting them to the fact they may...
Oh, that may be another law. This is referring to yourself.
Not talking about obviously, you're not talking about where your life is in danger by this thing happening.
Well, an animal, I would say, you know, well, that life is...
Sakonis Mephoshes, how could you say possibly that...
That was the question, and therefore you definitely do. But that doesn't mean there's different ways to avoid.
Right, but if you couldn't avoid it otherwise, then obviously you could do
this. That's what Gemara said. Hold the extra, hold the low extra. It's possible or not. But if you could get out of the way, it's better to get out of the way than to speak. Right? And that's basically what it's saying. And therefore, in the case that you see a wagon or a car, okay, fine. You're not going to have kavana, but there's a difference. But you can still be yotzei or shmoneh esrei. As long as you have kavana for the first paragraph, you don't have kavana for the rest. You still fulfill your obligation. But that doesn't mean you're allowed to be mafsik. Hefsik is a completely different matter. That's a whole bigger issue. And that's the issue is when you're speaking. But he said that only time a person is allowed to move is if it's for the reasons that were cited. However, other than that, you have no right to move. So on this, the Mishnah Berurah asks the questions of what we find sometimes when it comes to the chazan on the Yom Noroyim. The Mishnah Berurah says as follows: Ein lotzeis yesh ligor b'chazanim she'oikrin mimkoyman b'yom ha'kipurim. That we find sometimes the chazan that they move around their feet when kishmagin el benach nikayru. So by Elenu and other parts of the Avoda when they found them.
By
Baruch Hashem uveseder ha'avoda. So, people say, you know, it's wrong. Even though, as we mentioned already, on some level, the Prima Gunim says that halicha l'tzarach tefila is not a hefsek. So, if you move in the process of, for the sake of davening, that's not really an interruption.
Wait a second. He already did the Amida for himself. He said, I realize he's been davening for the, but this is chazaras hashat. So, he's already, he should be yotze with the tefila. Its own tefillah, they davened already.
Right.
So maybe it's not the same thing as because now he's doing chazaras hashatz as opposed to when he's doing his own davening for his personal.
I hear the difference. I mean, we also know that when you're still in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, you know, it's still, you can't just be mafsik for no reason. You can't just start talking in the middle of repetition of Shemoneh Esrei because you already davened the private Shemoneh Esrei. So. The question is that an issue? So some say it's a problem, okay? Now, is there any advice that the Mishnah Berurah can provide for us so that the chazan could bow down and yet not really move his feet? So he says like this.
I think they move the pavement.
Hey, look, this is what he says right here. Mamidin lo stender. You see, we call it a shender. And if you look on the bottom, it has the targum. You see, it has the number one. What on earth is that? So if you look on the bottom on the one, it says the targum omud kriya, a place to stand and read. So it really means like a stander. So it's a stander. That's what it means. It's not really a stender. It's just pronounced, I guess, or whatever. Different ways of pronouncing it. Anyway, so if you have a stander, kinohug bein l'tevah, between him and the table, uvavoyna misalkin hastender, after. When we begin the avoda, someone pulls away the shtender, which is in between him and the teva. In that situation, in tzarich lakar raglav, he won't need to move his feet. So that's what some people do. Instead of, let's say, having the chazan davening right next to this, in which the only way that he can move, he'd actually move his feet. Another possibility is by having a shtender here, and then moving the shtender, you know, this way he's further back. Move the shtender, and this way he can bow down without really moving his feet. So that's another way that this can be done. So that's, and then in my yeshiva in Miami, that's actually what they do. The person who davens in the Yom Noroyim, he doesn't daven by the actual bima, but he bounces like a couple feet back, and they have a regular shtender that's there, and then someone comes, moves the shtender. This way, of course, on some level, the feet are being moved a little bit, but it's just being, they're going down, they're going right back up, but of course, they're being assisted also for those people that need help to get up.
And if the bell tool is a cut in, then he's got a different muscle.
That's, I guess, another issue.
Well, he's got to turn around.
That's it. You know, he, Cousin Heinowitz has this every... has
so what does he do? Imamish,
he turns around, he jumps. He actually does
somebody
not jump.
Somebody picks him up and they turn him around?
No. We kind of like hop around, not to be a Karaglov, to keep the feet together.
Right.
But there are those who say, and I think he's among them, that you actually, it's because it's Lutzar Tefillah, that he can... More. He just turns
right.
around, he walks.
There you go. And that's the opinion of Prima Gunn. Okay. All right. So let's finish up this little piece over here, and then we'll stop. It says b'tachanunim. So when it comes to after the tachanunim, at that point, once we get to a certain point of your Shemoneh Esrei, then a person is allowed to move. Right? You said any other time, the only issue of moving was during the Shemoneh Esrei, but if you're betachanunim, well, afek tefila, then it's not a problem. So the Mishnah Berurah says, de'oz mutter im ha'akiru tzarech mitzvah k'sas. Even if you have a little legitimate reason to move, then it's not an issue. Kigon masha anu nohagin v'shleit tzibar she'tekev achar chazar satfila oikir raglov. Immediately after he removes his feet, yoyshev l'tachna v'imkomos Shnohagin lomer tachnun b'yeshiva, so they immediately sit down. So therefore, even though they could do that right away, it's not a problem. V'chein olu labima l'kriyas haTorah. If a person gets called up to an aliyah and they're toward the end of the Shemoneh Esrei, or they're in the tachnunim, ashlo higia dain la'kadosh im tiskabel shepoiseya boy hagilmo psios. Even though he has not really reached the point of moving, taking his steps back, nonetheless, he's allowed to get an aliyah. All these different, relatively mitzvah ksas, small reasons, one is allowed to interrupt the davening once they're up to the tachanunim, which is again after that, shalom, and elokanesor. So we had a Gemara before of Rabbi Akiva. Kigon ma de'amrinu b'gemara of Rabbi Akiva, shahoy adam manicho. It said that when he would daven by himself, it would take him a tremendous amount of time with such kavana that if you put him on one side, you'd find him on the other side. He'd be bowing down and moving around so much, he would lose himself, so to speak. Vahainu, the question is, how could he be moving? So one answer is, he doesn't realize it. Or haynu b'tachanunim shalach tefila, that after the tachanunim, once you're in toward the end of the davening, then one is allowed to move. But b'shol tzarach, for no other good reason, also adam lazuz mimkoimo, you're not allowed to move and shiyisag gimel psios until you're taking your steps back. And we'll conclude with this last thought: kosev ha'olas tamid shiachar shasim hatfila, that after you finish the Shemoneh Esrei, kodim shemer oiseh shalom. Before you actually said that oiseh shalom, which is, you know, after you've taken your three steps back, ain't iser im akar raglov l'mitzaksas, not a problem. Kigoyin kibdu oiso l'psichas aron hakodesh ve'es oimrim avinu malkeinu. So, for example, they give you a kibud, and you're in the middle of the Shemoneh, toward the end of that Shemoneh, so you have the kind of tsar, and they call you for avinu malkeinu, and so you could go and open up the aron, it's not an issue. Sha'olam Choshim zeksas l'mitzvah, because we consider that like a mitzvah, having the kibbutz of opening the ark. Mikol makom nira yesh lemer koyin l'chein hiratzon. You should say the hiratzon before you interrupt. And therefore, again, this is at certain times in which when a person is engaged in a mitzvah, but you're already in the tachanunim, that's no longer an issue. A person is allowed to interrupt the tefillah. So stop there.